Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Time now to take a look at, of course, the changing times and the legal aspects, or the lack of clarity in the legal aspects and what they say around the protection of rights and cohabitating partners who are not legally married through customary law or perhaps a civilian union. To help us unpack this, though, we join on the line by my guest who's joining us this evening, Angie Poo, who joins us as manager for estates business restructuring at BDO South Africa. Angie, thank you for joining us. I'm hoping I pronounced your last name correctly. I nearly took it to Sesotho.
Good evening, Gukulethu. Thank you. Yes, my surname is pronounced correctly. It is Poo.
Ah, fantastic. Thank you. Thank you for that, Angie. I guess first things first, we certainly need to take a look at the landscape around the legal framework when it comes to unions, partnerships of a romantic nature, and perhaps how civil and customary unions differ significantly to individuals and couples who might be cohabitating.
Absolutely. The dynamics that we face today, and the couples today choose to cohabit rather than to marry. And cohabitation, people frequently throw around the term that it is a common law marriage, that they are under the assumption if they cohabit or live with a partner for many years, they obtain the rights that married couples have under a civil valid marriage. Well, there's no such thing as a common law marriage in South African law, unfortunately. So it's a total misconception.
I'm glad you highlight that. And I think we just need to underscore it, Angie, that regardless of whether I live with my partner for 2 years or 20 years, we will not be recognized and receive the benefits in line with a married couple.
No, not at all. We watch a lot of TV from America and abroad and all that. In those countries, they have that concept of common law marriage, but there's no such thing in South African law. So to put it simply, couples that cohabitate do not have the rights as married couples have, and their relationship is not recognized in South African law as a marriage.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. I'm glad you highlight that, because it is important that we do get clarity on that. So if cohabitation is not recognized in the same light as a marriage, regardless of the time frame that is spent living together as a couple, what themes under the legal framework might offer recognition and even protection of cohabitating couples?
Well, there's certain laws that do recognize cohabitation. For instance, if you look at the Domestic Violence Act, it includes the protection of cohabitating partners. Medical Schemes Act, in the definition, they include the definition of a partner. So the partner can go on to their medical aid. Life insurance policies, if you are listed as a beneficiary on a life insurance policy, they're entitled to inherit. But where the problem comes in is in terms of death. If your partner did not have a valid last will and testament, then you cannot inherit, as the domestic partnership is not recognized by the Intestate Succession Act. Mm.
That's important, because when you say interstate, I'm assuming this definitely speaks to the unfortunate circumstance of death. And perhaps let's also clarify that, because some might say, well, hold on, this person told me that I would bequeath some of their assets, or this person put me into their will, or I was listed as a beneficiary of their pension fund. Let's iron out some of those themes and perhaps which legal document might be standing, especially when it happens that beyond a separation, but death actually occurs between two live-in partners.
Now, let's explain what is meant by Intestate Succession Act.
Yes.
So when you pass away, and you pass away without a valid last will and testament, then your deceased estate is administered in terms of the Intestate Succession Act. So the Intestate Succession Act, your assets are then awarded in terms of your descendants, which are your children, amongst a spouse and not a partner. A spouse is specifically in the definition, and family members. So a partner is not defined in the Act and therefore excluded. And therefore, it's of the utmost importance. If you want your partner to inherit from you and you are in a domestic cohabitation relationship, you need to have a valid last will and testament.
And this is where you provide clear instruction on which assets you bequeath to them. And of course, the full details as to who these, I guess, beneficiaries would be, right?
Absolutely.
Angie, this is...
And if you don't have...
Go ahead.
Sorry? If you don't have a last will and testament, then your partner cannot inherit.
Angie, this is so important because I think so many times as South Africans, we do take it for granted, and we do find many South Africans falling into this area of unawareness and leading to frustration. Typically, how would the law then view this, especially where the relationship, but more so the assets that the surviving partner would be able to benefit from? Typically, we do see this being challenged, and we have seen similar cases in the public being brought to the fore. Would this even stand any grounds according to the court of law? Should someone fight and say, hold on, we actually acquired these assets together and I can prove it through the necessary financial statements?
Interestingly enough, there was recently a case in the High Court in Johannesburg where cohabitating partners, they had been together since the early 1980s. They entered into a romantic relationship in the beginning 1990s and started living together. One of the partners passed away in 2016. So over the years, they've built up quite substantial assets, immovable properties, and everything else. When the partner passed away without a will, the surviving partner was unable to inherit despite their long-term relationship. So the surviving partner went to the High Court in Johannesburg requesting that their relationship be declared a universal partnership. The High Court dismissed the application and it went all the way up to the Supreme Court of Appeal. And the Supreme Court of Appeal then actually said, it's correct. We recognize you as a universal partnership, which will then entitle you to inherit 50% of your deceased partner's estate.
This sounds like it can become quite a messy situation. Does it leave or does it play any influence? Should there be children involved in the partnership?
If there's biological children, they will automatically inherit because of the intestate succession regime.
Okay, but that does not mean that the parent, the surviving parent, the surviving partner would then also automatically benefit. That
no.
Would, wow. Angie, this is intriguing. I'm going to ask for a few calls from our listeners who might find themselves in similar circumstances or circumstances that reflect this and learnings and teachings that we can build up on.
Sure.
So 086-000-959 is where you can dial in or alternatively share your voice notes, 063-688-0959. We respect and appreciate that for many this might be a sensitive issue, so we're happy to take your calls and your questions anonymously, but anything that has to do with cohabitation, the legal aspects, and perhaps the clarity you'd like to get. As we've heard from Angie, if you are cohabitating with someone and recognized as a partner, you're both in a romantic relationship, of course, regardless of sexual orientation, you will not receive automatic protection or benefits as one would if they were a spouse in terms of a civil union or at least within a marriage that is recognized by customary law. So these are themes that we do want you to be considered of. So do ask your questions and share them with us. We are going to continue with this conversation in just a moment. We're going to take a breather for ads, come back for our conversation with Angie, and of course solicit some of your questions on understanding the legal implications. We're participating in a very important conversation and topic that impacts many individuals in South Africa, especially when it comes to understanding the realms of the law when it comes to cohabitation. The legal system in South Africa currently does not provide the same rights and protections to cohabitating partners as it does to married couples. So just by virtue of you staying with your partner, it does not qualify or justify in legal terms any benefits that and protection that would be offered to a married couple under customary or civilian union. So it is important that we acknowledge that regardless of time or the period spent together, or even if you are able to substantiate some of the economic partnerships, benefits and transactions you've participated in together, this will have to be challenged in terms of the necessary legal processes. And joining me this evening for this conversation is Angie Poole, manager for Manager Estates Business Restructuring at BDO South Africa. And Angie, I've appreciated that you've given us so much clarity on this theme, because typically when we have these conversations in our own independent circles, it's very easy just to make assumptions about how the law will work, or even how the romantic partners who are involved together will continue to treat each other fairly at a time of separation or death. An ending of their partnership. And what you've helped us clarify is some of the complexities that would typically occur. We do have a question from one of our listeners on the WhatsApp line, and they ask, on the cohabiting topic, how does one deal with property splits when we are separating? He's actually referring to a joint bond. So this is not just saying the TV's mine, the couch is yours, I'll take the pots, you take the pans. This is actually saying we have owned a property, we are now separating, but now we actually have a joint home loan or mortgage.
First of all, there is a contract that you can draw up. It's called a cohabitation agreement. And a cohabitation agreement sets out the rights and duties of each partner during the course of the relationship. And you can adjust the cohabitation agreement to suit your relationship. You can, for instance, say, we're buying this property together, but you pay the rates and taxes and someone else has to pay the bond. Unfortunately, when you part ways, you would need to come to an agreement how to deal with that property. So either you need to sell it to settle the mortgage bond, or one party needs to take over the mortgage bond. And bearing in mind that with the National Credit Act, it's not just taking over the mortgage bond. It will probably have to be a new bond application. So just have a look at that and bear that in mind. But you can contain all your dealings of a relationship into the document called a cohabitation agreement.
I'm also assuming it is very important to actually put together this cohabitation agreement before any significant commitments are made, right?
Absolutely.
But can it also be applied in retrospect?
You can. You can say that, you know, I came into the relationship and I had X, Y, and Z. You know, 3 years down the line, you know, you've been dating for 3 years. Okay, after 3 years, we decide, okay, I've got a home, but we need to buy another home. Then you draw up the cohabitation agreement because you want to move in together. So in that agreement, you can adjust it and adapt it as your relationship grows and your asset grows. You can add to it, delete to it.
I see. Perfect. Okay. Angie, that's very important. We do have a voice note as well from one of our listeners, Mubulawa, an amazing listener who always keeps in touch with us and shares feedback. Mubulawa has a voice note on raising concerns around cohabitation. Let's take a listen to this one.
Mrs. Cooks, the more you listen to these things, the more you realize, good rough. You get married, you get divorced, you cohabit, now you don't get anything out of it if the legalities are not put in order. I love it. I know, good rough. Sicholela. Okay, let's not jol, let's not cohabit, let's not get married. Mrs. Cook, Senza.
Mubulawa, I absolutely love your voice note, because you know, making it very tight, real for us. It's the cuddles, it's the company, it's the companionship. But boy, does it come with complexities. As Mubulawa mentioned there, Angie, whether you're married and perhaps go through a divorce, the devil's in the details in terms of the marriage contract, right? And how best it is that you resolve outcomes there. If you cohabitate, you also need to make sure that there is some form of agreement and mutual partnership and agreement as to how things will be managed at the time of a separation, but most importantly, at the time of death, which is something that, you know, never springs up on anyone. And I think what we're learning from this is that either way, when one finds themselves looking to enter into a partnership, whether legally or not legally, for the long term, and where there might be some kind of, can I say, mashup of assets and home.
Yeah.
It is imperative that we actually take a look at the detail. And I guess this is where you can offer us some guidance as to what to look into, what to be mindful of, especially when it comes to creating a bespoke approach that's unique to the relationships that we want to be in.
I just want to point out and make one thing very clear, is that a cohabitation agreement is different to a last will and testament. A last will and testament has certain legalities that you need to comply with in terms of law for it to be a valid last will and testament. So even if you have got a cohabitation agreement mm-hmm. between the parties, but you don't have a last will and testament, you won't be able to inherit.
Oh.
A cohabitation agreement is not recognized in the Deceased Estates Act. So it's two separate documents.
Angie, this
I just
is important.
Need to make it very clear.
100%. So you'd rather prioritize actually having a will versus the cohabitation agreement if you want your partner yes. to bequeath some of your assets.
Absolutely. You know what? Nobody likes to talk about death and taxes.
Yeah. And
but
it's a reality.
Unfortunately, reality.
Mm.
And those are the tough conversations people need to have. New relationships. Everything is so rosy. But no one wants to talk about what happens when this comes to an end. And those are the hard facts you need to face and talk about.
100%. I'm so glad that you mentioned this, because it is something that we do need to focus on as couples, but beyond that, even as friends and colleagues who actually might offer some guidance and advice to some of our peers within these spaces. So as you've mentioned, a will needs to be prioritized if you hope that your partner will bequeath any of your assets. A cohabitation agreement might not be recognized in terms of the inheritance and deceased estate, as you've mentioned. But I'm assuming as well, should there be a tough separation, and we did allude to perhaps a family dynamic where there is a child between both partners, I'm assuming even there some kind of agreement would also just have to be ironed out to monitor, manage and control what a separation could potentially look like.
Absolutely. You know, there's always the family advocates that can assist with that as well. Just go to your local magistrate's court, and they are family advocates to assist with these types of issues where minor children are involved.
100%. Angie, I believe we do have another voice note and another question that's come through. Mm. We are just going to play this one just to hear the concerns that has been raised by our listeners.
Can I please ask, if I'm living with my partner and it happens, God forbid, I passed away and we are not married, we just staying together, can he inherit my belongings? And and how long should me and my partner be staying together for him to inherit my assets? And again, we don't have kids together.
Angie, I think we might have responded to some of these themes by anonymous, but let's rephrase them. Firstly, if her partner will inherit any of her assets should she pass away, of course, also mentioning that they don't have kids together, but is there a certain duration or level of time that can lapse for them to actually benefit and be recognized as key partners legally?
No. The law does not recognize cohabitation and domestic partners. Unfortunately. So if you want your partner to inherit, you need to have a valid last will and testament.
100%. Short, sweet, no. The law does not recognize cohabitation. If you want mm-hmm. your partner to inherit anything, you need to have a valid will and testament. Thank you for that, and as well as Anonymous for sharing that question. Angie, we've got a caller, Anonymous from Johannesburg, who's also got a question for us. Anonymous, welcome to Kaya Biz.
Thank you. Good evening.
Good evening. Excited to speak to you because this is a pertinent topic we're discussing this evening. But go ahead with your question, sir.
Yes. It's very important. So basically, I have a partner mm-hmm. and I have a child. So I'm currently employed. She's not employed. I'm covered and I'm not sure if I'm allowed to say, but under Alexandra Forbes. But there's that part where you put an individual as a beneficiary.
Mm-hmm.
Does that hold in case I die because I'm not married? is she entitled to my benefits also if I've actually put her as a beneficiary there?
Fantastic question there, Anonymous. Let's ask Angie to respond, and happy for you to listen in on the radio, Anonymous. Thank you. Angie, I'm hoping that you got clarity on this question. Anonymous is not married, has a child. He is the only partner who's employed. His partner is not employed. As a result, he does have retirement savings and has listed his partner as a beneficiary. Should he to bequeath, I guess, his wealth and pension savings? Would that work?
Yes. Because you've nominated your partner as a beneficiary on your pension fund, they will be entitled to the benefit on your pension fund. Remember earlier I spoke about these certain laws and regulations that do acknowledge partnerships. The Pension Fund Act is one of them, and even a life insurance.
What if you have a will that says something different? Would that contradict or conflict the outcomes?
How the pension funds are structured, there's trustees in the pension fund as well as in the insurance industry. They look at the beneficiaries. Okay. So, for instance, someone bequeathed their pension fund to their girlfriend, but they're married with three minor children. Mm-hmm. The pension fund will look at who was dependent, financially dependent on the person that passed away. And they will, the trustees can override nations based on children, minor children that are financially dependent on the person that's deceased.
100%. Okay, I've got you. So if you do have a beneficiary that's listed on your pension, it does make it easier, but there's a scrutiny that will be applied to fully understand who the beneficiary is. And I guess in this case, because there is a child and the partner would be the remaining primary parent, that is how then they would be responsible for the minor to make sure that they can actually benefit from this. Thank you so much for that. We've got one more voice note that we want to get through, Angie, just to respond adequately to some of our questions.
Hi, Sis Gugu. My question is, I have a friend that has a problem with her brother that is in a relationship with a lady that they kind of don't trust very much. And they're not cohabiting, but they well over their 60 and each has their own house. But this man had a stroke. And this happened while he was visiting the lady. And all of a sudden, when he was in recovery, the man wanted to get married, but he was not in a clear state of mind. So the question is, what happens in a situation where now, let's just say for argument's sake, this person now passes on? And this woman claims that she has been dating and he has been supporting her for the longest of time and demands to get something out of this relationship.
Thapelo, such an important question. And I'm glad that you're helping us understand how these stories can become very complex, right? Because of the nature of life and the incidences that occur. Angie, I'm hoping that you can respond and that you've heard the concerns clearly.
I couldn't hear the voice note, so
Just
give me a brief.
No problem. She's calling on behalf of a friend who has a sibling. These are individuals who are well above the age of 60. They have their own independent homes. They're not cohabitating. However, following the male counterpart falling ill and suffering from a stroke, he then actually wanted to propose marriage to his female partner at the time. The concern is that he wasn't in the right frame of mind. And because they perhaps visit each other quite often, a commitment to marriage has been mentioned verbally, though there hasn't been any solid follow-up. If the female partner, in the event of death of her male partner, would have any grounds to stand on to want to inherit some of his wealth or his property?
No, not at all, mm-hmm. unless there's a last will and testament that's been accepted by the Master of the High Court. She will not be able to inherit any of his assets whatsoever.
Perfect.
Even on a promise of a marriage. There's recent case law on that. The courts frowned upon that. But No, there's no, she will not be able to inherit because she's not a blood relative. She's not a spouse. She's not a descendant in terms of the act. So, no, not at all.
Perfect. Short and sweet there, Angie. Truly appreciate your time and, of course, perspective that you've
Thank
shared
you.
With us this evening. A lot of lessons that we've certainly have learned in terms of this conversation. So thank you. Thank you again for giving us some insight. And I think this is a conversation that needs to be ongoing, right, in our professional circles, in our personal circles, and most importantly, in the romantic relationships that we enter into so that everybody understands the risks that might pertain to choosing to live together but not following through with understanding the legal implications thereof. Thank you again, Angie.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Angie Poole, Manager for Estates Business and Manager Estates Business Restructuring at BDO South Africa. Angie Poole giving us some insight in the aspects of the law that don't provide the same rights and levels of protection for cohabitating partners versus married couples. Interesting WhatsApps that I've received from a few of my friends and colleagues saying, hey, people must stop this fat and set. This thing is complicated. A few of your tweets as well and messages on WhatsApp also highlighting the fact that we had no idea that it was this complex and, of course, needs us to play a lot more context and understanding into what we are witnessing. So very important. Please do be mindful of it. Next time you perhaps want to cohabitate with a partner, looking at options, do be mindful of having those serious conversations. Kenny Simpiwe also saying, good evening, Mum Fupi. To be honest, I was not aware of this contract and that one finds ourselves getting into when it comes to umjolo. Hey, operate with caution, guys. Operate with caution. On that note. Yep, we just thought we'd give you a refresher of that particular song, right? Referring to Amafatenset. Of course, a song that many of us as South Africans do know.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.